My guest this morning today is Frances Turner. She is the director of the honors program here at Howard Community College. And we're very excited. And I'm very excited to have this conversation with you today, Frances. Thank you for taking the time this morning to meeting with me. And thank you for accepting this interview invitation.
And thank you for giving the time for me to talk about this like amazing passion that I have at HGC, which is the honors programs that we like are so proud of here on campus.
And we're going to learn all about the honors program. We're going to learn what it is and, you know, who it is for, because that's another thing, right? This might not be the right program for you, but there are some people out there who want to push themselves, and that's what the honors program and that's who the honors program is for. But before we talk about that, I always like to get to know my guest. I know I haven't really told you guys this, but when we are at HGC, we communicate a lot via email, and you know, there's not a whole lot of interaction. So many of my guests I've actually met, I guess I can't say face to face, although that's really what I'm seeing. I'm seeing their face and they're seeing my face, right? Virtually face to face for the first time. So and you know, that's one of the reasons why I always ask this question to every guest that I have. I always like to start the conversation by saying, tell me a little bit about yourself, because I really think that everybody who is doing their job at HGC, the careers at HGC, I mean, I see we get the notices, you know, from time to time where people are stopping work. I want to say graduating, and that's not the word. They're graduating from work. They're they're retiring is the word.
And
I see, you know, that people at 20 years, 15 years, 30 years, I mean, very long careers. So that tells me that HGC, it continues to just cement that idea that HGC is really a great place to work for, and people are so happy there that they, one, have a passion for what they do, and two, they've made that passion into a career. So I feel that every person that I talk to has a really, you know, has a really strong story as of why they're where they are and how they got there. So if we can start with that, Frances, if you can just kind of tell me a little bit about that story, what that story looks like for you, I think that's a good place to start this conversation today.
Absolutely. So, you know, that I'm the director of honors at this program. I've actually only been the director of honors for, I think, less than a year. So I started July 15. I'm celebrating my first anniversary, I guess, in a couple of weeks. And before that, I was and currently am a biology teacher. So I'm an associate professor of biology at HGC. I have to say, I have like many passions, two specific ones at the college, that's honors and biology. So I'm really like, I feel like these two things are two synergistic like ideas that really help me like be who I am on campus. Now, it's funny that you say, you know, like we hear about all these great people that retire, they've been there for 15, 20 years. I probably haven't been at the college for very long, although I've only worked there for 10 years. And that's because a long, long time ago, and it seems like so crazy to say how long ago. So 2004, that's how long ago that was. I think I teach students who were just born during that time. So that makes me feel so old in some ways. So 2004, I came to HGC as a student. So I wanted to pursue biology. My parents were supportive of me going to school overseas. So I'm originally from the Philippines. And this was like my big like college experience. And I feel that going to HGC was the best choice for me because it was just the right fit with the support that I received from my teachers, who oddly enough, some of them I work with now because I'm working. And it's just like a great nurturing environment. And so after a year and a half of taking classes, I transferred to UMBC. And then I spent about 2 years in Canada because my family eventually emigrated there. And you know the saying at the college, you can get here from there, or you can get there from here. Sorry about that. I always joke, for me, my story is I got there from here, but then I came back because I just love this place. So I'm here. So that's, I guess, my origin story, something unique about me and something that many people don't actually know, because they know me as the teacher and faculty and coworker, but they didn't know that, like, 2004, that long time ago, I was here as a student.
Were you an honors student when you were a student at HCC?
Oh, gosh, no. Is that embarrassing to say? And you know why? The reason why I wasn't an honors student isn't because I wasn't academically strong or I wasn't interested. I actually, you know, I transferred with a great GPA, and I graduated from UMBC with honors. The reason why I wasn't an honors student was I just didn't know about it. And so when I took on this role of being directors of honors, my biggest mission is to share to everybody at HCC that honors could be something for you. You know, sometimes we have this perception that, oh, you have to be really smart, or you have to be honors from high school, or you have to be like a genius. That's not really true. Like, anyone can be an honors student here at HCC. And I think that's one of the things that I love about my work, is that we never think differently of anybody. And we want everyone to know that this could be a choice that they can make for themselves. So that when I was here at the college, I didn't know about the honors program. I think I was just like this shy girl, believe it or not, who went to school and then came back. And if I had known about the benefits of honors and what that could have done for me, like how I could have transformed from that, I really would have pursued it. So now I'm hoping to help others pursue it before they leave.
You know, I love what you just said, because I also had high GPAs and this and that and the other. Like, I love studying. It's just one of my passions. Studying is just a big passion for me. And I, ever since, and I know it doesn't really count, but ever since elementary school, like, right. I always just really, right. really enjoyed studying. And like you, I don't know that I didn't know about the honors program. At least I remember hearing, you know, like I remember hearing mm-hmm. Rouse Scholars, and I remember hearing these names. But I didn't take the time to really look into what it was. Like, I'm from Ecuador, like I shared with you earlier. And so I don't know that there was a program, like an honors program designed in Ecuador, you know, or like there was any type of benefit that would come from joining a program like that. So I never paid any attention to it.
Right.
It's really interesting to me to hear you say today, you know, the benefits that come from that and this and that and the other. I know I ended up becoming part of like a Phi Theta Kappa, I think it was.
Yes. But
I didn't do anything for that. You know, like it was just your GPA puts you in this and congratulations.
Right.
And I was like, oh, cool. Like
But
I can't say, maybe not even until today, you know, what that really, really means. So today I want to take that opportunity, as you said, to really educate mm-hmm. others and to really open that opportunity for others, for people who are in school, for people who are studying, to consider maybe joining the honors program. So
with
that in mind, what is the mission? You know, what is the mission of the honors program at HCC?
So we here at HCC Honors, we're really proud to put the focus on our students. And our overall goal is to really give our students a really unique and meaningful experience while they're at HCC. And we do that in a number of ways. So first, being an honors program, we really want to offer our students the chance for having like a rigorous academic education. So our students take honors classes, and these classes are not necessarily difficult, because the goal isn't to make things hard. That's not what an honors course or honors program is. But these courses challenge you in a way that you are asked to think beyond the textbook. So these courses are small, maybe 18 to 20 students versus 24 to like 30. You really develop a great relationship with your faculty and with your peers. You are encouraged to explore ideas and topics that's not covered in the textbook that would be different from a regular class. And you're really like push to be creative. So to think about different ways that you can learn and how you can apply what you're learning to yourself. So that's one of the things that I'm really proud of, is that all of our honors courses, and to a certain extent, we also offer what we call as honors contracts for classes that don't have an honors equivalent, allow our students to engage with material that is above and beyond what they would have naturally covered in the class. And then the other thing that is so beneficial for our students is that we really provide them a lot of other things. So I like to call these as experiential learning, so that they have other opportunities for growth while here at HEC. So for example, we really push for students to complete what we call as capstone projects. Capstone projects are something that you might hear of at the four-year school when you're a senior. Now, when you transfer into a four-year school, you may not have that opportunity to build the skills and learn about how to do a capstone project or even get into the right classes to lead you to that level. But here at HEC, one of the things that we are so proud of that we're actually officially doing this fall is offering a capstone seminar for fall and spring semesters for our kind of like graduating or like sophomore level students. And then there's cool things like study abroad. Like, I know that it's a little different now with the coronavirus, but we have a long-standing history of really encouraging our students to learn about the global classroom, you know, see the world outside of Colombia, see the world outside of the United States, learn about culture. We also have opportunities for service learning, but it's a lot more meaningful and more, like, I guess, intentional versus just volunteering or taking part of some kind of volunteer experience in previous, you know, maybe high school or as a hobby or whatsoever. So some of our honor students have gone on to go to service learning projects or activities such as alternative spring break or alternative winter break, where they really work with like local partners in different parts of the United States.
So you were talking about, you know, studying abroad and learning service learning, and you know, those two things are also opportunities that I wish so much that when I was a student, I had known more about and I had given myself the opportunity to take them. Now, when I was a student, I was a non-traditional student. So part of the reason why I didn't like really investigate is because I already had kids and I felt like, you know, I already have enough on my plate and I don't know that I want necessarily more, you know, add more
to it.
But you said something that I want to go back to. You said that honors, that everybody can be honors. You said that you don't have to be a genius, you don't have to this and that. So are there requirements or how, you know, how does one become an honor student?
Okay, so there are academic requirements that we do look for. And the reason for that isn't because we expect you to be the best like student at this point or like a superstar student. It's more because we also know that many, if not most, of our community college students that we serve here at HEC have really busy lives. So like yourself, you know, you had kids, that you're taking classes, you were working. So And even our traditional students per se may be having full-time jobs or caring for siblings or parents or grandparents. And we know that we have to honor that and we have to understand where our students are coming from. So our academic requirements are really just a way for us to see if you could potentially handle the curriculum or the expectations. And it doesn't mean that you have to be like super smart. It just, you know, we just want to make sure that it's a good fit for you because we don't want the honors program to also stress you out, right? Now, in general, we have a number of requirements for our students depending on the program. So we have two programs at the college. Our probably long-standing, most, I guess, known program is the Rouse Scholars Program. We're actually like welcoming the 28th cohort of students this coming fall semester. It's bit like part of HEC's history. And that program is your traditional program that looks at or recruits rather from the high school. We expect students to stay here for 4 semesters. We expect them to be part of seminar classes that are required. So they take a year-long RAO seminar class in their first year, and then a seminar class that we're calling the Honors Capstone that we're also launching this upcoming semester for their second year. So there's a little more rigidity in that program. And in that program, I like to think that we look at the holistic package. So we do look at GPA, we do look at your extracurriculars, we do look at leadership, and then we also look at like how you've developed as a high schooler. So if you, for example, may not have the best GPA, let's say you have like a 3.0 GPA, but you also like show us that you've got grit and you've got passion, and you can explain what is the reason for your academic profile. We consider that, and we think that that's amazing, because, you know, just because you have a certain kind of academic record in high school doesn't mean that you're going to be that way in college, right? Now, for many of our students, the RAO's path isn't going to be applicable, because as you know, a lot of us do come in as non-traditional students. So I came in as an international student. RAO's would not have been a good path for me, right? So that's where Schoenbrodt Scholars Program comes to play. So it's a program that I really love for its flexibility. I always joke around, it's think of it as, you know, design your own honors adventure if you're going to go to Schoenbrodt. Schoenbrodt serves a variety of different students. So we have students who are still in high school, so part of dual enrolled or jumpstart, or sometimes even homeschooled students from Howard County. We also have students that are your regular students who start at HCC but missed the boat on joining RAO's or may not even know about the RAO's Scholars Program. So they learn about it and then they join after. And then my favorite is that it's the program that we really have the flexibility for non-traditional students. So if you are a parent or you're working full-time, you're going to class part-time, if you're an international student, this is a program that we really make sure is most flexible for you, because we know how busy and how challenging it is to go to school. Now, the Schoenbrodt Scholars Program would have different requirements. If you're coming from high school, it's very similar as the RAO Scholars Program. We look at the holistic package. Now, if you're going to college, if you're, you know, if you already are an HCC student or you're dual enrolled, we do look for a minimum GPA of 3.2 to be eligible for the program, and at least one college class and no more than 19 credits total. And there's a reason for that. We wanna make sure that you can handle a college class. If you've got kids or if you're working full time, it's really hard, right? So we wanna make sure that you are able to really find the time at your own pace to be able to do this. And then the maximum 19 credits is there because we do have honors requirements. So regardless of RAO's or Schoenbrodt, we require everybody in honors to take at least 15 credits of honors classes. And if you have too many to begin with, it's really hard to make up those classes. And we don't want to, you know, set you up to fail. Like, we want to make sure that, you know, once you're in a program, you have 98% chance of succeeding and graduating as an honors student.
Absolutely. Now, when we started a conversation, you said, I wish I had known about this because I, you know, the benefits and all of the perks that come with participating in an honors program like this. Can you give us a little more information about, you know, why somebody should consider, right? Like, what are some of those benefits that come with being an honors program student?
Right. So obviously, I mean, to me, obviously, anyway, there's lots and lots of benefits of being part of honors. The most practical really is the money part. So all of our HCC honor students, regardless if you're RAO's, Schoenbrodt, regardless if you're full-time, part-time, or even international student, get scholarship support. And that scholarship support really goes a long way. So you can use that towards tuition, you can use that towards books. Depending on your GPA and like the progress that you're making, you might get even a little bit more as you're getting closer to your degree or getting closer to your end goal. And then sometimes that money can also help pay for things that are really cool, like study abroad. So study abroad is pretty expensive, even at the community college, even at HGC, but we work really, really hard to make sure that we support as many students as possible, including the honor students. So we have students that will get a little bit of help so that they can actually, like, you know, have the funds to actually go overseas and not worry that, you know, they're going to get into debt just because they wanted to take a kind of a science class in Bermuda, for example, right? And then we also really encourage our students to go to conferences, to attend meetings, to learn about themselves, to workshops. And we, of course, would never expect our students to do that without funding from us. So financial just benefit, like, I think to me is like so worth it. Now, and then on top of that, there's also that kind of like holistic benefits that you get from the program. So I always say to myself, and I always say to my students rather, just because you're a community college student doesn't mean that you should be excluded from things that you can really grow and learn from that's outside of your classroom, right? And like when I was a student at HGC, all I did was study and go to class and get great grades. And that's great. I mean, that was good. You know, it's nothing wrong with that. But I know that I could have benefited from something more. I could have benefited from the fellowship and the connections and the networking and even just things like having somebody help me think about my career path or thinking about the right transfer. So for me, I transferred to UMBC because that's the only school I knew. That was it, right? I didn't think about other schools, right? We make sure that all our students, regardless of Rouse or Chambord, get a lot of advice. We work with them very closely. They have academic advisors from the admissions office that help them every semester about planning their classes. And then we then bring in experts. So sometimes we have Valerie Vidal talk about how to transfer from community college to a four-year institution. And then we bring in partners from UMBC or Maryland or Towson and other even smaller private schools in the area to come talk to our students about how to succeed when they've transferred. So I think those wraparound services are so beneficial. Like, I think they help you really become ready and they help you think about yourself, not just, you know, next semester or over the summer, but in the long term. And, you know, that to me is like a powerful thing for many of our students.
Absolutely, because, you know, when you have that long-term picture, right, and you have that goal and that path, it makes it a lot easier to register every semester for your classes. I remember, you know, being an international student myself, I remember sitting down and being like, okay, going back to my little book, right? The book that they first give you when you first register as a student, and going back and being like, okay, I did this, I did that, I need to find that. And then going back to the other book, because at the time, internet, it's not that it wasn't available, but I was still relying on books. Okay.
Right.
Same here.
Right.
Right. And I think for me, because I didn't have the support that I could have had, I was limiting myself to classes. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to take science classes because I'm a science major, but I wish I had taken like a philosophy class, or I wish I had taken an art class, for example. And even now I'm trying to take an art class, but there's just no time. And college was that time. So I think the benefit of being with honors is that you aren't just pigeonholed in that one course. Like you get a taste of a lot of different things, and you may be a little bit more adventurous in the kinds of classes that you're picking with the help of an academic advisor.
I know, like, I didn't understand what electives were, you know, like, in Ecuador, I knew exactly what classes I needed in order to graduate. And if I could call them electives, it was like, okay, choose between either this production or this other production class, right? It wasn't like you can choose whichever class you want to enhance your career. And as people walk in front of me, and I think you just saw a change of light there. But anyways, that's what happens when you work from home, right?
Right.
You know, it was just really interesting to me. Like, I didn't know what an elective was. Like, I really did not understand what that meant. And so, much like you, I kept looking on the sections of communications and television mm-hmm. and radio production, and I would just be checking them off. I'd be like, well, I already took this one, so I take the next right. one, right?
Right.
I didn't know that I actually could just expand into other type of classes, other interests maybe, and just explore that, right? Mm-hmm. For a little bit. So you mentioned a study abroad. You mentioned
Service learning.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other opportunities for scholars, you know, for students who are in the honors program?
So there's definitely the capstone courses, which is something that's offered, that used to be just offered for Rouse scholars. But this year, I'm like really excited, it's actually going to be offered to all HSC honor students.
Let me stop you right there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because that's one thing that's new for me. I don't know what a capstone class or project or is. So can you tell us what that is?
So a capstone project in its theoretical sense is a culminating project that students usually in their like senior year or towards their graduating time at an institution would take. And it's almost like a space where you can synthesize what you've learned from all your classes in your previous, you know, encounters and your interests. So for us, a capstone project for a community college student would be something that they do in their sophomore year before they decide to transfer or graduate or go into their respective careers. And in this particular case, it's an opportunity for our students to pick an idea and explore a topic in greater depth. So students that are interested in science, for example, can do a capstone project that is within the STEM field, within reason, of course. Of course, like if you want to like learn about like brain activity, like we don't have like functional MRIs that you can do, so that's just not going to work. And you can't like test things on humans or animals. Like, we're just not that kind of institution. But we can help you learn about different technology and even learn about techniques that you might be able to use in research, in labs or in your field. We have students that are really interested in studying social structures and constructs. So we have a social science, arts and humanities track for students that are interested in that. Some of our previous students who've worked on that particular capstone idea have produced projects that look at, say, the relationship between violence and video games. And they actually learned how to do an IRB, an internal review board application, which itself is very useful. And then study a couple of their peers as they play video games and then report that finding in kind of using a survey instrument. And then we have students that are really interested in service. And so we have partnered with the Office of Service Learning and one of our like, you know, rockstar faculty, Rick Lee, and develop a community engaged scholarship path. So we have students that are marrying the theories that they learned in class and then basically serving a community and a partner that we have here in our local environments for a service related type of project. So the way to think about a capstone is it's independent work, like independent research, if I could loosely use the word research, because that word is so different depending on the discipline that you're into. It's a way for you to practice your skills and to almost provide yourself like something akin to an internship or an apprenticeship opportunity within the confines of your classroom in that 1 year. You learn how to do literature reviews. You learn how to produce posters or presentations. Depending on your project, you may be able to do products that you won't have space to do so in your other classes. So to give you an example, since you're in communications, it's just so unfortunate that this project actually didn't end up successful because of the you know, coronavirus and everything that happened in March. So one of my students last spring is also was a communications major. So he now transferred to another school, I think pursuing TV and radio. And what he wanted to do was to work with the Robinson Nature Center and actually produce a video for them that they can use for advertisement. And Robinson Nature doesn't have something like that. So this young man was going to do it basically for free for them, right? It's great service and great opportunity for that partner. But for the student, it was a way to actually produce something that's professional and that's like really worth mentioning in your resume and to use technology that he's learned from his classes. Unfortunately, because of the shutdown, you know, a lot of the projects this past spring had to conclude or had to change modes. But that's the kind of capstone experience that we're hoping all of our honor students would have should they pursue that, you know, that set of courses in their sophomore years.
That sounds like a class that I took, you know, in my 4-year school on my last semester, you know, one of those elective collective was. You know, but I mean, really, it sounds, you know, like that type of advanced class.
It is.
It was one of my last requirements.
It is. So. And I'm really excited because we've been trying different modes of this capstone for a while. And I think the one that we have coming up is really one that is going to be so flexible and really supportive of many students' different ideas. And that's, I think, the power of like community college, right? Like we're here to help you realize your best self. And you can do that before you even go to a 4-year school. And guess what? When you transfer, you're going to have so much more compared to your peers who are in their junior years at that point.
You know, that was my experience when I transferred from HUC. I felt so confident walking into those classrooms. And, you know, there were these TriCasters and this equipment and these cameras. And I was like, I've already worked with all of this at HUC. You know, like I've already seen all of this. And this is just going to add on to my experience.
Right.
I felt really, really confident and really, really prepared after graduating because I'm an HUC graduate myself. And when I transferred, I was like, okay, this is, you know, like, this is great.
You've got this.
Yeah, I can do this. I can do this. So, you know, for students that might be listening to this conversation, they're like, you know, maybe this is for me. What's that application process like?
Right. So depending on who you are and where you are right now in your education, so you could be still in high school thinking about this or, you know, starting community college, starting HUC, and we're so excited to have you in a couple of months, there's many different ways that you can apply. So for the Rouse College program, it is a traditional program, and we do recruit right from high school. Our application for this coming academic year is closed. And the new application, so this is for, you know, incoming juniors thinking about, or maybe incoming seniors rather, thinking about where they want to go when they finally graduate from high school. The application for the Rouse Scholars Program and just HUC honors in general will be available in the fall semester. We have two deadlines. We have a priority deadline in December, and then we have our regular deadline in March. And our team really works very hard to review every application, try our best to get to know each student. So it's not just like a face, or sorry, it's not just like a name and a number. We try to like picture what the student is going to look like and what the student is trying to tell us based on their essays, reference letters, and just the application academic profile itself. Now, if you're thinking about Chambrot, which is, you know, for me, like a program that I would have gone in myself into and probably flourished in had I tried and then just learned about the programs when I was at HUC, there are many ways to get into the program. Because it's so flexible, you can get into it right from high school. So that application process is very similar to Rouse. You can also get into it while you're at HUC. So usually if you have a great GPA, so at least a 3.2, and at least a college class. So it could be one college class. So it's perfect if you're a part-time student or just, you know, kind of testing the waters a little bit, or like a full semester's worth of classes, 15 credits. As long as you don't have too much, we would actually invite you because we want you to explore and think about yourself as an honor student. Like one thing that I am incredibly proud of and I really appreciate with my job is that we are so inclusive. And I don't just mean that, you know, I think a lot of people like throw that word around, we're inclusive, HUC Honors is really inclusive. Like we really we really think about everybody as having the chance to do honors, and we really want to make sure that you succeed when you become part of our program. So if you're a non-traditional student, or even a dual enrolled student, or a regular HTC student, so you're starting out this fall semester and you're thinking about honors, watch out for an email at the end of the semester. That email will invite you to the Chamber Scholarship Program. We do have those requirements, of course. You do attend an orientation so that you know if it's a fit for you. Because, you know, sometimes you could be an excellent student, but it's just not your thing, and you just don't have the time, and that's absolutely okay. But if it is a thing for you, then that's how you get into HTC honors.
Sounds like it's a very much a personal choice. It's an open door for those who would like to step into it. Absolutely. Now, we mentioned, you know, the benefits of participating in one of the programs, but we didn't talk about the benefits of being a an honors program and then transferring to a different institution. How does being an honors student help you with that transfer?
So one of the things that our honors students really get when they're with us is this amazing array of rigorous classes and overall support and all these opportunities for other stuff, right? That stuff could be maybe you participated in study abroad, or maybe through HTC honors, you were able to do a lot of like volunteer work with the foundation, or even leadership work with student government, because you make those connections within the program. Like, you become so much more part of the HTC community. And then on top of that, we make sure that you are very aware of a lot of the requirements when you transfer. So we work very heavily with our transfer advisors. We also partner with other schools who would come to the college to our HTC honor students and talk about the benefits of going into their programs. Now, I think all of that really prepare our students to transfer compared to other peers, both at HTC and other local institutions. We have students who are so successful when they transfer, and they, you know, before they even get to the doors of Maryland or UMBC, they figured out things like housing, because that's something that you don't think about when you're at HTC. Like, you never, you know, you live at home, right? Or maybe you live in an apartment, but you're not living in a dorm or with roommates, right? They figure out classes that they're taking, because we have connections with our graduate alums who come in and talk about their experience at the college, or at, you know, when they transferred rather from the college. And then I think the big thing for me that I see my students like get a leg up on is that because they're part of HTC honors, they really do stand out. So they have so much more in their resume. They have so much more that they can brag about when they write their essays and when they apply. This year alone, like, I was just so proud and like almost like brought to tears when I found out how many of our students were offered full-time scholarships to go to a four-year school. So there's this really prestigious scholarship from the University of Maryland, which is super competitive to go to, called the Frederick Douglass Scholarship. And they have maybe like, I'd like to say maybe 20 to 30 scholarships, and I may be wrong when I say this, that are full-time, full rides basically to UMD. And I think two of our HTC students got it. And then we have three or four that got the part-time, the kind of like half like scholarship. So they don't get a full ride, but they get like half of the semester paid off. One of our scholars got a full ride at Cornell. Can you imagine that? The Cornell University, Ivy League, tuition that probably exceeds my salary. And she is gonna go there for free for 2 years. Isn't that amazing? And then we have a number of smaller awards. We have some students who won an award through Phi Theta Kappa, which you mentioned earlier. So it's a competitive scholarship with PTK, sponsored by Coca-Cola Foundation. And like, it's money that they can use for anything to any school that they transfer. And then just this year, one of our students who has such enormous passion for social justice and service, was named as a Civic Newman Fellow. So this is a big like fellowship where like these great minds, these young, like talented students who are interested in service and in social justice and just making the world a better place, basically, get to work together and form their networks and like start like work as part of a bigger community. And one of our students was named one of those fellows this year. So yeah. I like to believe that wherever you are as a student, regardless of whether you're an HSC honor student or not, you have a lot of potential and you have a lot of opportunities out there. I'd like to think that the HSC honors program just greases the wheel a little bit and makes that connection and makes those like opportunities a little bit easier for you to get. And to me, that's one of the things that we're so proud of, to be able to serve our students when they transfer.
Absolutely. And you know, I really appreciate what you said. It makes a big difference when you are studying to have that support, then to have that financial help. And also, you know, those achievements, they continue to propel you and they continue to just empower you beyond the classroom, you know, because right now, obviously we're talking academics but if you think about it, all of those experiences and all of those achievements just are showing you, they're just stepstones that tell you, you know what, you can do this, you know, and they can give you that power and give you that force to keep going to where you want to go and make your career and build that future for yourself. So I really appreciate what you just said in so many levels and in so many ways.
Right.
So now that we are home, that HEC is physically closed, how can students connect with you? How can they, you know, if they have questions, maybe somebody's listening and they are current student or they are thinking about transferring to HCC and they want more information, how can they get in touch and connect with you?
So the HCC honors team is as alive and as well and as active even now, even after we've shut down. So we are very attentive to our emails. Our phones actually still work. We get our messages emailed to us, so we know who's calling. And anyone who's interested, so whether you're a current student or you are a prospective student thinking about HEC as a part of your future, could always reach out to us. So probably the easiest way is to look for our website, our space rather, on the HEC website. If you go on HEC and just type honors on the search page, you would find like a pretty good rundown of our Rao scholars and Chamber scholars and just information about how to apply, or at least I think right now it's information for this coming year and it's going to be updated for the next year, because we always think like a year ahead for not our traditional applicants. And we have an email, so it's very hard to remember. It's honors@howardcc.edu. Right. And we check that email a lot, and anyone who emails, usually the email gets forwarded to me and I respond to that. And of course, anyone is welcome to just reach out to me directly. I can link my email address and my work number below, and as I mentioned, I actually get my voicemails like messaged to me. So of course I'm not going to be able to answer it because we're not at work at HEC. But I will be able to get back to you and I will call you. And I think the beautiful thing about Howard Community College is that we are a fairly big institution, but I think everyone is super collaborative and we always like put the students first. And I know that sounds so cheesy, but that's been my experience in the last couple of years that I've been here. So even if you don't know who to get in touch with, if you have one person, you have like an email address, say registration or like admissions or financial aid or whatever, and you just type, I want to know about the honors program, trust me, that information will get back to me. It's like, it may like take a while to find the right person, but usually like if you just ask, I need help with this, that email will be forwarded or that message will be sent to me, because we you know, want you to think about honors and we want you to succeed at HEC.
Absolutely. And that was my experience, not just, you know, not just as an employee, but also as a student. Like when I didn't know something, I would just walk into an office and be like, I am a little lost and I am looking for this. Can you tell me where to go? And, you know, and if, even if people didn't know where that was or something like that, they would, you know, get on the phone and contact somebody and try to get that information for me. So you're absolutely right. That has been my experience too, as a student and as an employee. You know, people ask all sorts of questions, and then if I don't have the answer, then I'll try to find it. And if people didn't have the answers for me, they also, you know, did the best to try to find it for me. Can we mention your phone number, and can we mention that email address again, just so that everybody can contact you?
Absolutely. So I'm Frances Turner. My email is fturner, F as in France, the country, Turner, at howardcc.edu. And my phone number is 443-518-4662. I hope that was the extension. It's been a while. I'm sure that was the extension.
If not, you can always email it. And like we said, you know, even if you dial the wrong extension, that person will get that message and they will forward it over to Frances. We have about 10 minutes left here in that conversation, Frances. Is there anything else that we haven't covered? Is there anything else that you would like, you know, students and everybody who's listening and watching this morning to know?
Okay. So, you know, I'm a little bit biased, and I do love where I work, and I love the college, not just because I work here and I have great coworkers, but also because I tested it as a student. And I've been in several institutions. I went to UMBC after I got my master's at Ryerson University in Toronto. And I recently finished a master's in data science at Maryland. And all those places are great. But to me, the place that really I think helped me like grow and be confident and helped me like make a bridge for myself and my future was this community college, Howard Community College. So what I want to share, you know, with the time that we have left is a lot of times we don't think about community colleges or HEC as our future home when we want to go to college. We don't think of it as offering us that full college experience, because I know that that's really important for our young students and for anyone interested in going back to school. Like, we want that full experience. We want to have opportunities, and we want to be able to get as much as we can from our education. And sometimes you don't think that something like a community college can do that. Our HEC has amazing programs. I am very versed in HEC honors because that's what I've been doing this past year, and that is also like something, a mission that resonates with my heart. But we have so many other things that we offer, from athletics to undergraduate research to like the arts and even like TV production. Like, we have such great technology that we offer students. So going to community college actually is a great idea. You get so much for your money, and you really get a lot of it. And HEC honors really gives you a lot. Like, it goes above and beyond what you can potentially get for yourself while you're at HEC. So think about HEC this coming fall, and, you know, the next 2 years, right? And think about HEC honors. Anybody can be an honor student, and we would love for you to think about being part of our community.
You know, they say that you get what you pay for, right? And I think that there is an exception for that.
Yes.
That would be Howard Community College, because you're not spending a tremendous amount of money for education, but yet you're getting, I mean, top education, quality education. Yes. As I mentioned to you, I'm an HEC graduate myself. I'm a dragon, I guess. We're both dragons.
Yes, we are.
And yes, my experience is very much like yours, where I got so much, so much. I almost felt like, you know, when I graduated, I was like, wait, this is just a 2-year degree. Can we can I just take one or two more classes and make it into a 4-year degree? Because I really feel like I'm so prepared. Like, I really
feel ready
to take on my career.
Exactly.
So, yeah, no,
I was thinking, like, HEC is like a great sale. you know. Yeah. It's like you get so much for what you pay for, and yeah, it's just like an amazing experience. And I really hope that like our viewers think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to wait for the holidays for the sale, right? Holiday sales, right? You can access it anytime right here at HUC. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. The education, the level of education, the level of community. And much like you, my experience was because of my lack of knowledge of how the educational mm-hmm. system works in this country, my experience was limited to just academics, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. And even though my experience was limited to just academics, I still had the greatest experience. So, you know, and then, as you said, you take and you incorporate all of these other extracurricular mm-hmm. pieces into it, and your experience is just blown away. So, take it from somebody who only had the academic experience, who right. really just came to school, had her classes, drove away right. as soon as the class was over because she had to go back to work or her kids or whatever it was.
Right.
I still had the most amazing experience at HUC. Mm-hmm. Frances, thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you
for sharing all of this mm-hmm. information. I really, really appreciate it. And for everybody who's listening and for watching, thank you. Consider HUC. You know, really is a good place for you to further your education. If you're graduating from high school, it's a really good place for you to come and get all of those classes, mm-hmm. the required classes, right? Mm-hmm. Out of the way.
And even some specialty classes. So it's not just your like gen ed. It's like we have amazing second year courses that are comparable to other schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Get all of those requirements, get all of those things that you need at the beginning of the foundation. Get mm-hmm. a good foundation, really, at HUC, right. you know, get them out of the way, pay less for them, and then be really fully prepared and ready to just transfer to that four-year school. And, you know, don't be like Frances and me, actually expand your experience.
Right, and join an honors program.
Yep, there you go, through the honors program and through everything else that HUC has to offer.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.
We need you to continue wearing masks, physically distancing, washing hands, and getting tested. But the stress from COVID-19 also impacts our mental health. Many of us are struggling, feeling isolated and alone. Please check in on a neighbor and lend a helping hand. If you or someone you know needs food, help paying rent, or just someone to talk to, visit our website today. Together, we will beat COVID.